So anyway, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to look at fighting our battles. Fighting our battles, things we need to know. How should we respond in a battle? And what do these storms or battles or trials really accomplish in our life, right? And so God wants us to fight. Also, sometimes God fights our battles, but he also wants us to fight. Does that make sense? And so we're called to fight in a certain way, though, with a spiritual response. We're going to see why that is important. And so think about this. Battles normally come on the heels of breakthroughs. So that's what happens in chapter 6. So we see the axe head floating. We see things getting restored. And so sometimes God does some amazing things or turns things in a different direction right on the brink of a miracle, right? And so, for instance, Jesus fed the 5,000, a huge miracle, then a storm came. So sometimes right on the brink of something miraculous, a storm hits. Or sometimes the storm hits and then a breakthrough happens too. Does that make sense? And so Jesus went through his storm in Mark chapter 5 to get to the demoniac to deliver this one man. So there was a breakthrough for that guy, but they had to go through this treacherous storm to get to the breakthrough, right? And so just like the Exodus, they had to go through this plague to get through the Exodus. That makes sense? And so sometimes it's on the heels of, or it can be on the beginning of, but God always is doing something to stir or to cause things to take place that sometimes otherwise wouldn't. And so we also have an enemy that is real, right? And so we have to face and fight things spiritually from that standpoint as well. So in verses 8 to 17, we're just going to read these together. Now the verses will be up on the screen for you to follow along with. Verse 8, it says, "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel." So this is Aram was modern-day Syria, modern-day Turkey. So when I came to this passage this week, I was just like, you got to be kidding. And then the earthquake hit Syria, modern-day Syria, Turkey. It's like, oh my goodness. So it applies to us, and we'll see how it ties in here at the end. So King of Aram was at war with Israel. Now we know that he's been kind of doing these little raids here and there, but now he's going with a full battle. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such place." Well, the man of God, Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Then time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard, on his guard in such places. So he was gathering and sending intel to protect his king and his troops. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" He's like, there's a traitor in my house. Who's given intel out against our plans? "And none of us," he says, verse 12, "none of us, my lord," the king said, "one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet, who's in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." So God is the first satellite of intel delivering military intelligence, right? And so Elisha is not only a prophet, he's part of the CIA of Israel. And so this made the king of Aram very upset. And so he goes, "Go find out where he is," the king or king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." Very intent now. It's like, hey, we got to deal with this problem. The report came back. "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, Elisha's new servant, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he goes, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid." I love that. The prophet answered, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." The Lord opened his eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Woo! Remember Elijah, right? He saw the horse, a horse and chariot come down to get Elijah and take him back to heaven. And so if there's ever a way for me to go to heaven or for you to go, that would be the ultimate way to go to heaven, right? Never experienced death on a God's horse and chariot. It's like, yes, right? This scene is different. So now Elisha's being attacked, right? Just for doing good. Right, he's just protecting his nation, his people, because these raids kept happening. He's like, hey, God's sending me. Hey, you need to protect these areas. You need to protect these areas. And so Aram is like, we got to stop and go after Elisha. So here's the thing. God may send a storm your way or a battle your way that you never even started. That makes sense? It just comes your way. A storm, a trial, you don't plan for. It just happens. All you're worried about is doing good, right? And so why do good things happen to good people? Because good people are doing good things. And the enemy knows it. That makes sense? And so we have a spiritual enemy who wants to discourage us, to try to capture us, right? And so set a trap for us. And so the king of Aram went after Elisha. And so we gotta go after this. Now think about this. Elisha was very helpful with the king's servant Naaman, right? That was just back in chapter 5. Naaman got healed. He was right next to the king. And so Naaman's testimony should have been to the king, hey, we shouldn't be doing this anymore. We've invaded the land. Now they've healed me and blessed my family, my servant girl. I probably need to send her back that I captured. And so the king didn't listen to Naaman's advice. And so he continues to come after Elisha. And so the New Testament says, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what's right or for righteousness' sake or for my name's sake. Sometimes you may take a stand for the Lord in a situation and be persecuted for it. You may be hit for that or go through a trial for that. And you're like, what's going on? Right? But realize what you're doing is continue to do what's good. Right? Now, if you go through hard times because you're doing evil or doing what's wrong, then you're getting what you deserve, Peter says in 1 Peter 3, right? That's normal for everybody, right? But if we do what's good and still get hit hard, that's a different story. So how should we respond, right? And so either way, God is wanting us to learn some things, whether we're doing wrong and we get caught for it or if we're doing right and we go through some trials for it, right? God has some things we need to learn. So four things we need to learn about God here, right? It's a mental toughness. So you see a difference between Elisha and his servant here. So number one, God knows what you are facing. Isn't that an amazing thing? This didn't take God by surprise. We may not understand what's going on. It may all just happen suddenly. But it will be revealed in time. And so that's what happened in this situation. Secondly, know that God is for you and is always with you. Notice this verse in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. We saw this verse last week when he talked about the danger of greed. So author of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So there is a double never there. So whenever there's a double negative or a double never, God is absolutely confirming on top of the truth, I will never, never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am for you. I'm with you. Right? Sometimes it doesn't feel like he's there. You ever had those feeling moments? It's like, man, he just feels distant. He feels way off. It doesn't seem close. But God's like, don't trust your feelings. Trust your truth that I'm telling you. Trust my promises. So sometimes we have to be mentally tough, right? So coaches teach mental toughness, right? Is that important? Doctors will teach you, hey, you're gonna go through some stuff. You're gonna have to go through some treatments. You're gonna be mentally tough through this. Know that God will never leave you one moment through this, right? So we have to trust those promises. Now notice the next part of the verse. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? If the Lord is on my side, then he's all I need. That makes sense? Thirdly, God already has his army in place. Don't you love this? So when evil started to move against Elisha there, God already had his army in place too. God never shows up late. He always shows on time. Does that make sense? And then fourthly, God always wins. Don't you love that truth? He always wins. Now, victory looks a little different, as we're going to see for everybody a little differently. So we can't measure somebody's victory and put it in our situation all the time. But there's principles to learn along the way here. We'll see that in just a minute. But Elisha shows us how we should respond when those unexpected battles or storms come our way. Does God care about how you respond to things? Absolutely, he does. So when these unexpected storms or trials come our way, Elisha responds very spiritually mature here. Okay? And so, second point here. How does God want us to respond? Number one, he's given us spiritual weapons to fight with, so we have to use them. Right? So number one, find a place of refuge. In this situation, this story, it was Dothan. And you're like, well, what in the world went on in Dothan that has any Bible significance? So I was thinking about that. It's like, did anything happen in the Old Testament about Dothan? And I did some research, and there was. So remember Joseph, he went to look for his brothers. His dad says, hey, go look for your brothers. They went north, and so you need to go find your brothers and bring them back. So he goes to his brothers and finds them in Dothan. So what happened in Dothan to Joseph? Joseph went up there and said, hey, we have this coat of many colors, and they took him captive, put him in a pit, and sold him off. Right? And so Elisha's there at the same spot. So now he's being attacked from the north by his enemies, and he's probably thinking, or he could have been thinking, was this going to be another Joseph moment where they take me off and take me back, so on and so forth. And so here's the amazing thing. We all want victory stories, but Elisha's victory story is different than Joseph's story. You follow me? We can't always, when we read the Bible, he's like, yeah, that's my story. I want that to be my story. And God's like, well, I have another purpose for Joseph than I do Elisha. Joseph's story is going to be, yes, he's going to face some hard stuff and go through some hard stuff. God's going to have to completely humble him and then exalt him to the second place in Egypt in order to feed thousands of people for 7 years. All the lessons that he learned prepared him for that victory moment in his life and to get his family back and there'd be forgiveness and healing. Elisha's victory is completely different here, right? So we can't compare stories when we read the Bible. Hey, I want that to be my story. I want out of this hardship. No, God's like, I'm going to bring you more through some hardship. It's like, Lord, please. Right? And God's like, there's a lesson here. You got to trust me. Find me as your refuge. So that's where our spiritual healthiness comes in. Right? I'm not blaming God for the circumstances. I'm not turning against him. I'm not angry with God. I'm trusting God because he's the God who oversees and protects me. Right? Just as all those chariots and horses were all around Elisha, it's like, hey, God is my refuge. He is for me. Who can be against me? Amen. Even if evil wins against the day, I know my God has a purpose. Okay, so we can't compare victories, but learn the lessons along the way. Secondly, we need to see our situation and not fear. Remember, Elisha's servant saw only the threats. He did the numbers game. Hey, there's just me and you against this strong force of an army coming against us. And he was like, oh my Lord. That's what it says right there. Oh my Lord, right? And so he's like, what are we going to do? Immediately, Elisha says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's a normal response to be afraid, right? To to respond when we're outnumbered. It's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to run or flee? And here's the thing. Elisha didn't flee or run from his situation. He stayed and he was not afraid because he knew what was going on. Sometimes we don't see the reality of our situation yet. Our eyes haven't been opened to what God's going to reveal to us. You follow me? So I'm getting older, and so a couple years ago, my eyes are changing, and so now I'm like reading my Bible like way out here now. And so I'm seeing things a little differently, right? And so I put my readers on, it's like, oh, there's the words. People are like, why don't you just get a different Bible, large print Bible? It's like, I know where everything's at in here. You know, if you ever get a new Bible, you can't find nothing, you know? And so I have it all marked. And so your eyes change. And so sometimes we just need to ask God, Lord, open my eyes to the reality of this situation. You think God answers that prayer? He did right here. He will in our situation too. But we have to see our situation and choose not to fear, but to trust the Lord, right? Psalm says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who trust in him. So sometimes we just have to lift our eyes up to the mountains, right? Psalm 126. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, right? And so prayer works, right? When we see the situation, then he responded in prayer, right? Lord opened his eyes and then he prayed for his enemies. Is that a biblical truth in the New Testament that Jesus taught? Yes. He even said to love your enemies. And you're like, well, wait a minute. It's like, that's going too far. I can pray for them. I'll help them out. But to love them, you know, that's a God kind of love right there, right? But he prays for his enemies, notice, to be blinded. Notice verse 18. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, and Elisha, as Elisha had asked. Now think about that. That was a simple prayer. God did it like that. Sometimes God, in the midst of certain things, he answers like this. You're like, wow, that's awesome. Sometimes there's a long delay in prayer life. Years, months, decades. And you're like, Lord, what are you doing? God's like, I've heard it. I'm just waiting for the time to be right. But he prayed for his enemies to be blinded. He prayed for their eyes to be opened. Now notice this is where it gets interesting. Verse 19. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. So he was 10 miles north of Samaria. So the army came against him. He led them 10 miles south. While they were blind. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. The Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. And you're like, oh snap. Here we are trying to capture this guy, and we get captured ourselves. Here's what Proverbs says. If you try to dig a pit for someone else, you will fall into it. If you purposely try to do evil or set someone up to do evil, you yourself are hurting yourself. You're not freeing yourself from the situation. You're only causing more problems. So the Bible says, never seek revenge. Why? Because you're the only one that's going to get hurt. So don't do it. Pray for your enemies. Love them, do good to them. We'll see the importance of that. But pray. Prayer works, right? Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about the armor of God, right? And so all the pieces, the shoes, the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, all of that is for defense. Because arrows are going to come against you. What are you going to block those arrows with? Those lies of the enemy. Pooh, I got the shield of faith. I'm absorbing all that. Right? So I have the little sword, the little dagger sword, the sword of the Spirit. And he says, take the sword and pray. Right? So when you're facing these things, we got to take up the word of God, right, and pray using the sword at the same time. So prayer gives the sword its power, so to speak. So when Jesus faced the enemy, what did he quoted scripture, but he was fasting for 40 days. It's like, oh, wow. It's like, well, I don't want to fast for 40 days. It's like, that's a long time. But the whole point is take this sword and defend, but it's your offensive weapon. We got to use prayer, right? So when those day comes, you got to learn how to pray. And so sometimes God sends storms your way to learn how to pray, to develop your prayer life. Amen. Right? And so my wife taught me how to pray very easily. I just went riding with her in the car. They put that handle there for a reason. And it's, oh my Lord, handle. Right? Teach you how to pray real quick. I tell people it'll teach you how to cuss or pray, one of the two. That is the truth. I tease her about it all the time. Anyway, we don't have time to go into all those stories. All right. Number four, lastly here, don't seek revenge, seek their good. So they were inside Samaria, verse 21. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, oh, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? What a moment. Here you have your enemies coming against you. They raid people. They plunder your nation. And here's your moment. You think, oh, now's the moment to get justice. As a king, he had the authority, he had the power to do that. But notice what Elisha does. It's like, oh. Verse 22, do not do that, king. Would you kill men you would have captured with your own sword or bow? And you're like, no. We'll set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Does Romans 12, like we went through Romans 12, it says, if your enemy is hungry, what does it say? Give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Notice beyond that, it says, so he prepared a great feast for them. Wow, he went the extra mile. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. Now notice the response here. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Only God could do that. But if they had sought revenge, what do you think would have happened? More war would have caused and went down the line. More people's lives would have been lost. It's like, hey, let's have a divine moment here. Let's apply and respond in a biblical fashion, in a mature way, and say, hey, let's help them and show them kindness and mercy instead of justice. God's ways are always best, even though it's hard to accomplish them sometimes, right? You know, King David was being persecuted by Saul, King Saul. And so Saul was in a cave, and David was in there as well. And so Saul made himself vulnerable, and David was behind him in this cave. And David's right-hand man said these words, today, David, God has handed your enemy into your own hands. It's God's will for you to take him out. And David was like, no, I will not touch him. Whew. Not touch him. Saul comes out of the cave, David comes out of the cave, and Saul realizes, hey, something's missing, because David's servant went up behind him and cut a piece of cloth off. He says, Saul, I could have gotten you today, but the Lord told me not to. And Saul was like, please have mercy on me. Please forgive me. So how you respond is critical in order to win the battle. If you respond in an unbiblical fashion, the way God wants us to respond, you will continue in that storm or battle or trial until you learn that lesson. God's trying to teach you some things. He's trying to grow us and develop us and not to hang on to things. Throw them a huge feast. Wow. Three things about storms or battles, and we'll close. Number one, they're always temporary. Aren't you glad for that? We don't face hurricanes every day. We don't face earthquakes every day, every week, every month of the year, right? They're always temporary. So enjoy the times of peace, right? But prepare wisely for what may be coming. Secondly, they help build our faith, as it did with Elisha and his servant. We've got to trust God. We're not going to fear. We know God is for us. We know his army is surrounding us. But also God is there to help develop our character and our confidence. So we can say the Lord is our helper. What should we be afraid of? Then thirdly here, it lets us see God at work. It lets us see God work. When we respond right, we see God move and do what we can't imagine. Amen? But we have to respond right. And so as I was preparing this message this week and looking at the geography of this, and I was just like, this is modern day, Aram is modern day Turkey, Syria, and Israel. So Syria has been in a battle and war against the southern nation of them for years, centuries, decades. And so even recently, Syria is like trying to attack Israel, borders and all these kinds of things. And here's the amazing thing. And so we get this earthquake this week on Monday, 7.8 epicenter. There's four tectonic plates right there in Syria. It's like, the more I dug into this, it was like, oh my goodness. One of those plates runs right down the Mediterranean Sea right to Israel. And so you look at the shock wave after that 7.5, and so they're counting 6,500 buildings destroyed from these aftershocks and all of these kinds of things. And so Israel's known enemy experiences this tragedy. It's like, wow. So how do they respond? They sent aid and help and rescue help, food, hospital stuff. Amen. And it's like, Lord, are you serious? I'm studying this passage and this happened this week. Maybe it's a lesson for us to learn. Amen. We have to respond well, even to our enemies, to trials and hardships the right way. Because when we respond right, it goes right. Amen. Amen. It just goes right.